So good evening, brethren. It is opening night. It's opening night. The sun sets, as Warren said, just over an hour ago, 6:16. So heralding the opening night of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of the Eternal God. Question: what comes to your mind when I say the words opening night? Maybe you think of the opening night of a season or a series of performances, perhaps of a Broadway musical or a stage play or an opera or a series of orchestral pieces, such as the amazing annual season of promenade concerts. We mentioned this in the Last Great Day sermon from last year. The promenade, affectionately known as the Proms in the UK, and they're performed every summer at the Royal Albert Hall in London. Another very special concert that comes to my memory from my childhood in the UK was an annual charity concert that's televised every autumn still to this day. And it's called the Royal Command Performance. Some of you will be familiar with that. The Royal Command Performance. Sometimes they call it the Royal Variety Performance because people don't like being commanded to do anything anymore. But it's usually attended by the Queen or some other members of the royal family. And brethren, that's what we are doing here, right now. Tonight's service is the first of nine very special performances. Now, when I use this analogy, I'm not meaning to lower or to cheapen the Lord's holy feasts down to the level of a mere humanly devised series of musical or theatrical presentations. But grammatically, the English word performance and the original Hebrew and Greek language equivalents in the scriptures cannot be restricted just to musical or theatrical presentations. And I looked it up in my thesaurus for the synonyms of the English word perform. And here's what I found. Accomplish, carry out, execute, follow through, fulfill, make, and do. All of these synonyms apply very nicely to our keeping of the Feast of Tabernacles. And we find the word perform, including its derived words, performance, performing, 69 times in the King James Version of the Bible. The first time we see it is referring to the performance of the tabernacle duties of the Levites. Let's go to Numbers chapter 4, please. Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4 and verse 23. Numbers 4, 23. From 30 years old and upward until 50 years old shall you number them. It's talking about the Levitical sub-tribe of the Gershonites. All that enter in to perform the service and to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Okay? But not just the Levites, and not just certainly not just the Gershonites, but the Lord also required some level of performance from all the people of the other non-Levitical tribes of Israel as well. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 13. And he declared unto you, talking, you know, the Lord God declared unto you, and when says you here, he's talking about all Israelites, he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. So the Israelites were to perform the law, including the ritual law, of course. And this requirement for the active performance of the keeping of God's law was still in place at the time of Jesus' human birth. Let's go over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And Luke chapter 2, verse 39. And when they, talking about Joseph and Mary and Jesus when he was little, had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. So even, you know, thousands odd years later, after Moses, Joseph and Mary and the human Jesus had to perform all things according to the law. But let's come back to this evening. What's more relevant to this evening, the term also applies to the keeping of the Lord God's feasts. Now, if you can find Nahum, and I think it's near Habakkuk, somewhere in there. Is it? Yes, there it is, between Micah and Habakkuk, or Habakkuk. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 15. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 15. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace. O Judah, keep your solemn feasts. Keep your solemn feasts. Perform your vows. Perform your vows. So, we can consider this evening service of ours to be the opening night performance of an 8-day series of performances which make up the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles and God's Last Great Day. But brethren, something to note here, that in this special royal command performance, we're not the audience. We are the performers. We're the performers. All of us. All of us. And for my purposes on this opening night, let me continue to use the example of the annual Royal Command performance in the UK. If you think about it, if you've ever seen it, you just think of the hundreds of, probably thousands, I don't know, of highly experienced participants that are necessary to put on that amazing series of performances at that huge, impressive concert each year. You've got solo singers and instrumentalists, choir singers, orchestral musicians, TV, computer, lighting and sound technicians, electricians, wardrobe experts, makeup experts, and so many more. Bringing it all the way back down to a much smaller scale, it's the same with God's Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, yeah, we know, compared with the Royal Command performance, and even with larger Church of God feast sites, both past and present, our tiny one here is relatively simple. But still, if I can coin a few old hackneyed phrases, many hands make light work. And conversely, in our case, many cooks do not spoil the broth. Our God requires all of us to participate in this performance. And perhaps, you know, looking around the room, perhaps you don't think that you have any talent for this Feast of Tabernacles performance. Perhaps you think, or you don't think, that you have anything to contribute. Or maybe you think that it's only the sermon and sermonette speakers who have an important part, or the most important part. And that's not, no, brethren, no. Every single Church of God member has a crucial part. And if you don't know yet what your part is in the 2021 Feast of Tabernacles, please pray about it. Pray about it, and I'm sure that God will reveal it to you. In this regard, Let's review a very well-known passage of Scripture from the Apostle Paul. Please turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, and every woman too, to profit with all. And the word with all means for the benefit of all the members. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, every woman, severally, as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Jump down to verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. No. Much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And When Paul wrote that, I do not believe for one minute that this list is some kind of Church of God hierarchy, not at all, or some kind of pecking order, not at all. But still, when you read these things, you say, well, my gift is not listed there, you know, not mentioned in those lists there. But don't worry about it. Pray about it, because God knows what your God-given gift is, what your strengths are, what your talents are. Verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? Paul doesn't give the answer there, but his unstated answer, clear answer, is a resounding no. No. Think about it. Let's go back to the royal command performance. What would the royal command performance be without all of the very necessary crews of technicians and other crews there diligently working away in the background? What would happen? Without their efforts, the frontline performers, all the big stars, they would basically be singing and dancing to themselves. And probably in total darkness, if you think about it. They need all of that. Okay, the sermon and the sermonette speakers do have an important job to do. We have a duty to our Lord God, and we have a duty to you during this feast, and a duty not to waste your time, although in reality feast time is actually God's time, but a duty not to waste time by feeding you irrelevant or inferior spiritual food. And if you'll forgive my mixing of metaphors, a high quality smorgasbord variety of spiritual food is a very important factor. But if you think about it, a bunch of sermons and sermonettes does not necessarily make for a good, successful, enjoyable or complete Feast of Tabernacles. It doesn't. What a drab feast it would be if all we had was a series of sermons and sermonettes. Even with our tiny group this year here in Victoria, just think about all the many other important jobs that are necessary for the making of a wonderful and meaningful series of feast performances. The song leading, the flowers and the decoration of the room, the physical food preparation, the setting up beforehand and the clearing up and taking down afterwards, the organisation of social activities, the pre-arrangement of housing, the operation of the sound equipment and the computers, the connection to the internet so that our services can be broadcast to our brethren who are not able to be with us in person, the choosing and playing of appropriate special music, not to forget Lily's wonderful God-given gift of sign language that we're going to see throughout the feast, but especially got a real treat for you tomorrow. Last but certainly not least, godly, iron sharpening iron fellowship and conversation that we're going to enjoy at this feast. And I'm sure that you could think that there's probably many more examples that I've missed, but which you could think of. So whatever gift God has given you to share with the rest of us at this feast, he has given us two more encouraging instructions through the Apostle Paul, both of them to Timothy. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just single verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So some of the gifts that we have are given to us at baptism through the laying on of hands, obviously through the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, just over the page there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul writing to Timothy again. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Once again, so Timothy's gifts might have been different to your gifts or my gifts. But that difference does not mean that the gifts that God has given you or me are any less important than Timothy's were. Let's talk about rehearsals, okay? Many moons ago, this is a history lesson again, many moons ago when I was at grammar school in Liverpool there, they had grammar schools in Liverpool, I was in the school choir and the recorder group, you know, remember the little recorder, like a little flute, you know, and back in our worldwide days, I sang in some excellent church choirs in Vancouver and in Ottawa as well, in the congregations there. And one of the incredible things about those choirs was the rehearsals we had, you know, every week. And as we got closer to the actual performance, we had them a couple of times a week. And the rehearsals were a blast. We just had great fun, lots of joking around, lots of fun. And we were practicing for weeks and even months leading up, and, you know, depending on how difficult the piece was. And then, if you've been in the church for any period, any length of time, you must have heard ministers over the years using the word rehearse in relation to God's holy days. And you're talking about God's people repeatedly rehearsing God's instructions in the keeping of his feasts. But right now, tonight, our rehearsals are over. And the time for the actual opening night performance of our 8-day series of performances has arrived. It's here. Although those choir rehearsals, again, were always lots of fun, on the days of the actual performances, the huge excitement of every single choir member was palpable, you know. So, brethren, on this opening night of the Lord God's feast, are you excited for the performances of the week ahead? I certainly am. I really am. Well, let's take care not to belittle the wonderful gifts that God has given each one of us. And in conclusion, let's go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Very well known. I won't even read the whole verse, but Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I'm going to read it again. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And so, brethren, yet let's all give it our very best. Now, before tonight's closing hymn and closing prayer, I'd like us all to listen to some special music, what I believe to be very special music. Very special music. And as an introduction, I'd like to use the example of two amazing centenarians, 100-year-old men, two men who did what their hands found to do in the past couple of years, and they did it with all the might that remained to them. For those of you who regularly watch local Vancouver Island news broadcasts, say, Czech TV, you might be familiar with a 102-year-old man, a World War II veteran by the name of John Hillman, who, on his last two birthdays, matched his age by walking hundreds of laps around the forecourt of his retirement home in Oak Bay in order to raise money for charity and to help raise the spirits of Vancouver Islanders during the pandemic. Now, John Hillman was inspired to do this by the earlier original example of a fellow British, another World War II veteran and centenarian by the name of Captain Tom Moore, who by doing similar walks as John Hillman, raised more than $52 million, the equivalent of $52 million for British charities. Captain Tom was knighted by the Queen for his amazing efforts, and you'll see this on the video. And he was invited to participate in the 2020 Royal Command performance. And he accepted that invitation, and you'll see the result in a minute. But just one more thing. This man was 100 years old, and on his 100th birthday, the original single recording of this song rocketed to the top of the British pop charts. He was number one at 100 years old. So this is "You'll Never Walk Alone." If you can keep a dry eye, you're a better person than I am. Performed here by the well-known... So again, "You'll Never Walk Alone," composed by Rodgers and Hammerstein, performed here by the well-known British singer Michael Ball, with the choir of the UK National Health Service and Captain Sir Tom Moore.